And welcome to the club. I can see Margin X is with us, at least the main account. It's just to approve your request to speak, Margin X. And I can see the mute icon, so you should be able to speak.
Testing. This is Danny from Margin X. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Danny. Welcome to the club, man.
Thank you.
Great to finally... get this thing off the ground.
Yeah.
You guys are definitely shooting for the stars over there.
yeah. Hoping. Yeah, we are. We're trying our hard best to try to give something very, very good to Cosmos community.
Right on, man. Right on. Is there anyone else we should invite? I can see Opitant is here now. Is there anyone we should have a speaker as well before we get...
And Shin as well. Shin, S-H-I-N, Shin. He's also the contributor, co-contributor of Margin X.
Yes, I see him.
I think he just requested, yeah.
Yeah, I see. He should be able to speak momentarily.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Shin. Of course. Yeah, I did the mistake once where I didn't invite everybody who needed to speak. And then 15 minutes in, someone said, hey, could you please accept?
right.
Beautiful, guys. All right. I can see it's 2 p.m. at least where I'm sitting here in Copenhagen. So welcome, everyone, to the Cosmos Club, where we talk all things Cosmos. We tweet daily about what's going on, and then we invite interesting, fascinating, hardworking builders to the Cosmos ecosystem, from the Cosmos ecosystem. And today, for the first time, we are honored to have Margin X with us, with Danny and Shin. Welcome, guys, to the club.
Thanks.
Yeah, right.
Thanks. It's an honor to be here.
So while people are settling in, as many people probably know already, we'd like to take a little bit of a personal touch, how you guys ended up building, working for Margin X. So tell us your story, guys. People come from all walks of life in crypto and in Cosmos. Some people are technical, some people are more financial. What's your story?
So my story, I think it's a bit, it's just like everyone else. So I was in the space since 2017. So my background is a bit of law and accounting and finance. And I sort of like in 2015, then after my graduations from my university, so I went to a payment route called Pundi Pundi, started in Indonesia. And then in 2017, I co-founded this project called Pundi X. And it's a crypto point of sales project. So right now, I think it's still active in the space. It's pretty, and they are doing pretty good in Latin America and Turkey and some other countries as well. So yeah, so I was a big fan of decentralization. So just like I say, my background is a bit of law and accounting and finance. So I was a bit of anti the traditional banking system. So I was like, you know, I need my freedom of money. So that's why I was obsessed of decentralization and especially Bitcoin. So yeah, so I, like I say, I co-founded a crypto payment. And then I think in 2021, then I met the rest of the team Margin X. So then I become the core contributors of Margin X, which is we want to build a fully decentralized derivative or rather a perpetual exchange. Yeah, so I don't want to take up too much
Shin,
probably.
Thanks, Danny. So my name is Shin. It's quite interesting that most of us didn't come from the computer science background or the blockchain background. So Danny came from law and finance, and I myself, I did a PhD in physics at University of Cambridge. So it's quite a long way from physics all the way to what I'm doing right now, which is blockchain. I'm one of the core contributors of MarginX as well. But before joining MarginX, I was actually previously the head of data science at Visa, the credit card company. The financial services that Danny said he disliked. so enemies collaborated and held hands to form MarginX. So I previously worked at Visa for quite a number of years, but I was dabbling in cryptocurrency and blockchain since the early days. And last year in 2022, I decided to quit my job as the director and head of data science and decided to join MarginX full-time as a core contributor. I'm here since then. I'm a firm believer that blockchain is going to be the biggest technology that will change the world. So that's why here I am. As a matter of fact, a fun fact is that when I left the company, actually quite a number of directors left as well, because they also believe that blockchain is one of the most interesting technology that's going to emerge in the next couple of years. So that's a bit about me.
Visa is doing quite a lot of things in the blockchain, it seems. At least they're becoming more and more active on Twitter and or X.
They
and
are
such.
They are
talking about the use case of blockchain and the use of blockchain in TradFi and payments and all that. So it seems like your former colleagues is turning around also.
They are. I mean, in fact, when I was joining MarginX, they were rapidly expanding from during the early days of one or two blockchain experts. So it used to be the case where if any of our clients want to know anything about blockchain, it would go to the same guy. But by the time I left Visa, it was already a team of like 20 and 30 people. And I think today, now, it's probably even bigger. So they are definitely into blockchain as well,
Awesome, guys. So without further ado, I can see people are also settling in and more people are joining into the space. So what is MarginX for anyone who hasn't paying attention or just doesn't really interest perhaps so much in exchanges and DEXs and perpetuals, etc.? So walk us through, what is MarginX? What are you building over there?
I can start first, and then Danny, maybe you can add on later. I'll give a short version of it. So MarginX is basically just a decentralized exchange, right? It's a DEX. But the twist in it is that we envision a DEX that's unlike any other out there. First thing, we believe in the freedom to list. So in at MarginX, you can think of it as a Uniswap for perpetuals. Anyone can actually list their pair of tokens there. As a freedom to invest, anyone can take part in providing liquidity. Very much like a Uniswap, but not on an AMM model on the limit order book. So this is the part where I think we are proudest to say that we got a algorithm called ALO. ALO, we call it ALO, and that's where we actually transport the benefits and the advantages that we see in Uniswap, in AMMs, into a limit order book. And that's, I think, it's one of the most innovative things that we have done at MarginX as well. And then finally, as well, I think MarginX is also a DEX where we believe in trading with a peace of mind, where everything's on chain and your wallet is non-custodial. So yeah, to in TLDR, we believe DEX, it's MarginX is a DEX, but we emphasize on freedom to list the tokens, freedom to invest your money, and freedom to trade. And in particular, again, if I haven't mentioned this already, I think our innovative algorithm ALO, which brings the advantages of AMM into a limit order book exchange, we hope that this is going to be very transformative and revolutionary in a DeFi space in the next couple of years.
If I may, I would like to emphasize, because I think Shin emphasized on the AMM model, the automated limit order book market maker, which is ALO, which is our innovative to make every tokens has the ability to have their own perpetual market. So I would like to emphasize on the technical structures as well. So basically, Marginx is everyone knows basically Cosmos is a multi-chain structure. So Marginx also inherent that feature as well. So our cases is or rather the specialty of Marginx is we emphasize on this thing called one chain, one pair. So which means that we will allocate a dedicated chain, a dedicated side chain for every pair. So for example, like Bitcoin, USDT pair, or Ether, or Atom USDT pair. So each pair actually will be hosted on a chain itself. So which means that the performance are isolated. The traffic, the congestion of one chain won't affect the other chain. But the beauty of that is the liquidity are shared. So basically, you can use your liquidity or your funds on BTC chain and then use it to collateral and then use it for another chain or another pair, for example, or Atom. So I think this is these two things are like our innovative. So one pair, one chain, and then the LO, which is the automated limit order book.
Beautiful, guys. And just for anyone out there who's confused about the term perpetual exchange, basically we are talking about futures contracts. Perpetuals is a type of futures contract with no expiry date. Typically, with a futures contract, you have an expiry date. You're agreeing to pay a certain price or sell at a certain price at a future date, an expiry date. Perpetuals just run in perpetuity, forever, in a way. It's becoming more and more popular. It's been getting popularized by many exchanges, but obviously there's a few also now in the decentralized realm with particularly big DEXs like DYTX coming to Cosmos, also GMX in Arbitrum, who's been massively successful in the past 1 or 2 years. So yeah, maybe that begs the question, how is MarginX different from DYTX? Is obviously extremely interesting to compare to because they're moving to Cosmos, but also something like GMX on Arbitrum.
Yeah, I can start it off. Again, I think the main difference that we want to talk about is the ELO. I think perhaps we can dig a little bit deeper, right? Because I think there might be some audience out there that's not familiar with this term. So ALO, A-L-O, stands for Automated Limit Order Book. Now, why do we think it's a game changer? Basically, if you think about the last 5 years in DeFi space, what has been evergreen? In my opinion, it has been Uniswap. And why has Uniswap been so successful in the last 5 years? Mainly because, you know, we have this very elegant, simple formula, X, Y equals K, that governs everything. Right, and it also governs everything from the way you trade, the spread that you get, and anyone can basically just put in a pair of tokens, and immediately you can start exchanging these tokens. And it's very beneficial not only to the people who want to trade the tokens, but also beneficial to the people who developers who actually want to list their tokens, you know, for expanding, for developing a project. But the problem is this kind of facility doesn't really exist in a limit order book concept, right? For a limit order book concepts, we immediately think of the biggest player out there, the big brother out there, which is Binance. But then not anyone can list the tokens in Binance because you have to go through a lot of security, a lot of KYC, a lot of all these problems. And it doesn't go through like the Uniswap where everyone with a pair of tokens can just list. You don't have that luxury. And then on the other end of the things is that, you know, in AMM with XY equals K, you just put in a pair of tokens and the spread and the price is determined by that. But in Limit Order Book, you can't do that, right? Because all the orders has to be pre-listed, predetermined, you know, your ask orders, your bid orders. It has to be pre-listed on the order book itself, right? It's not predetermined by any algorithm. And this is why ALO is very innovative, right? We actually combine the best of both worlds. We bring the advantage of the AMM, the freedom for anyone to list their tokens, the freedom for anyone to really trade on it, but we bring it to the limit order book exchange. Now, the last question you might ask is that, then why do we even bother with limit order book, right? So for those uninitiated out there, you know, you might trade a lot on AMM, but trust me, AMM, you're in most of the time, you're not trading at the best price because a lot of it, like as I mentioned to you, the price is determined by XY equals K, which basically means that you have no full control of exactly what price you're going to buy or sell. The beauty of limit order book is that if I say I want to place a limit order to buy Bitcoin at $27,000, for example, it only gets executed when the price hit $27,000. So in a way, if you take it from this point of view, limit order books actually gives you the true zero impact exchange, right? Compared to a lot of exchange out there. Because with limit order book, you can actually buy and sell at exactly the price that you want. And if the price doesn't hit there, then your trade doesn't execute. Sorry, I took a bit long to explain this because I think for the uninitiated out there, it's important to know our thought of train of thoughts, how we ended up thinking, developing this ALO and why we think it's revolutionary, and you know, and the whole process of why we think importing that advantage of AMM into a limit order book is so crucial, especially to the DeFi world. That's my view on this one. I don't know if Danny has anything to expand on this.
Yeah, thank you, Shin. So I think Shin made a very valid point and then I think explained pretty clear. But I have something to add on. So I think what really difference between DYDX or even GMX and us and MarginX is one of the main thing, the key issue is the permissionless listing. So just like Uniswap, you can list wherever you want, like wherever perpetual pairs you want, as long as you know you provide the liquidity. That is so different with DYDX and GMX. And then the other thing is the order book. Why limit order book? From my perspective is suitable or it fits the perpetual markets or rather the derivative markets. One thing is derivative markets doesn't really, you know, when you trade the derivative that you just open a position, then you need to close the positions to really realize your profit or loss. So in that case, if you do it on a MM model or borrowing lending model, just like GMX, so the counterparty will be the borrower or rather the traders. So if the traders, it doesn't release the positions, the funds will be stays there forever. So it actually underutilizes so-called the capital efficiencies. But in limit order book, once we have an open positions, then we have a position, so then we can the automated limit order book we will put that particular positions on the order book to allow the other market participants to try or to close the positions or to take over. So in this case, the perceptions of MarginX change to the what we keep emphasizing is the freedom to list and freedom to trade. So everyone can trade their positions and list their perpetual markets permissionless or rather freely. So I think this is one of the main key features. And the third one, like I mentioned, is the fully decentralization. So everything, every bit, for example, the order book, the liquidations, all happens on chain. So the order book will be on chain. That's why we need we need to build on MarginX or rather the Cosmos ecosystems, because each chain right now need to be processed 4 to 5 million transactions a day. So I think that would be the main differences between us and DYDX and GMX. Thank you.
Very interesting. I can't help but think about how the whole DEX space is evolving. So as you say multiple times, the AMM model has been sort of dominant with Uniswap first and foremost, but many other DEXs out there have the approach where they implement AMM first and foremost. But more and more, you start seeing DEXs, decentralized exchanges, that has an order book first. Kujira in Cosmos, for example, comes to mind with Finn, the order book that they have built into the Kujira protocol. Now they extended to an AMM as well, but it's interesting to see how the two approaches, you know, when you build a DEX, whether it's going to be an AMM model or an order book model, is starting to converge into one. But that begs the question, at least in my head, will more and more exchanges and builders of DEXs, will they start deploying perpetual exchanges like you guys are doing? What are the benefits of doing that, perhaps? Because you start to see these DEXs coming up, which are massively successful with huge volumes. DYDX, I mean, you know, just look at the volumes that they have. It's staggering numbers, right? GMX, the same thing. So, do you think that more and more DEXs will move to a perp exchange model, or how do you guys see the space evolve, basically?
Yeah, so let me try to start first. Just one comment I have, right? You mentioned Kujira as well, but I just want to point that there are a lot of, so when we embark on this model, a lot of people say that, you know, their exchange have already done it, someone has already done it. But if you do a deep research, which I have done, actually none of the, as far as my research shows, none of the platforms out there actually has our LO algorithm, right? Like, for example, Kujira, it's more like a hybrid AMM model rather than a true limit order book. So on MarginX, we are a true 100% limit order book exchange, but on the principles of AMM, right? We don't have any AMM Uniswap order books to even start with, right? Our entire order book is limit order book. It's just that we incorporate the principles of AMM into that, and which is why I think that makes us unique. So I just want to make that comment. And to answer your question, what I think the future would look like, I definitely think that the future of DeFi has to go from, number one, from AMM to limit order book, for reasons I've mentioned earlier. The hardcore traders, you know, we always talk about DeFi, you know, conquering over TradeFi, but the traditional finance. But we wouldn't be able to do that until we are very efficient. We have a very efficient exchange, right? And to have a very efficient exchange, that means you have to have a limit order book, because AMM, as good as it is, its inefficiency is pretty obvious, right? So on this end, I think the future is that more and more exchange will try to make it happen on limit order book. And we certainly believe that LO is going to be the game changer, which a lot of people out there is going to start adopting our algorithm as well. To your second part of the question, which is whether we see a lot of the trends going towards perpetuals. Again, I think my answer to that is affirmative. I think the future of trading is going to, we're going to have more and more perpetuals, and volumes is only going to get bigger and bigger. Obviously, perpetuals cannot exist by itself. You know, spot trading is still going to be there, but I think that it makes a lot of sense for people to trade perpetuals, because if you think about it, the way you can establish smart contracts, the way you can establish leverage, the way you can open a position and hold on to it, this makes a lot of sense for traders. Especially for perhaps young degen traders, because I think it's very alluring to the young degen traders to have these kind of features, which basically, blockchain and cryptocurrency being the technology of the future, these are the audiences that will start adopting, you know, the 20 years old or the early 30 years old. These are the people that we think will be the adopters, the full adopters of blockchain, right? And which is why I think the attributes of perpetuals will be very attractive to this group of people, and which is also why I think I agree with your statement that going into the future, I think perpetual contracts is going to take hold.
It definitely looks like it, and that's also why I ask the question from experts like yourself, because it's not the first time that I hear new exchanges or existing exchanges considering deploying not just spot trading, but also futures contracts and perpetual trading in particular. So let me ask you this, because that brings me to a question of setup or technology or stack or whatever we want to call it. Because obviously, okay, so GMX is deployed in an Arbitrum, at least initially, that's their claim to fame initially. DYDX has been historically super focused on deploying on Ethereum, Starknet, and all these different layer twos. And you guys are set up, built on FunctionX, which some people might know, some people might not. FunctionX is an app chain built on Cosmos. But yeah, talk to us about that, perhaps why you decided to build on FunctionX and what FunctionX brings in terms of advantages in the first place.
Yeah, sure. I think I can take that this one. So for those unfamiliar, so FunctionX is actually a specific derivative app chain that built on Cosmos SDK. I think it has been around since 2019 or 2020. So yeah, so it's a high performance derivative chain. So their so-called mission is to provide a high performance trading derivative such as perpetual order books. So back to the special features of Cosmos, which is the multi structure. So that's FunctionX has inherited from the Cosmos ecosystem and SDK as well. So because we want to do MargenX, we want to do a fully on chain or purely on chain. Means everything like liquidations, you submit your positions, you want to close your positions, or you want to settle the funding rate, everything. We want it to be settled or and can be shown and can be traced on chain. So we run a test before we launch it. So a normal so-called order book on-chain transactions will take at least 4 to 5 million transactions alone for just one pair. So when we talk about 4 to 5 million transactions a day just for one pair, so what was going to happen if we list 10 pairs? So back then in 2021, until right now, there's none of the main or mainstream blockchain out there can satisfy the requirement, which means that if you have 10 pairs, which means that daily we need to have 40 to 50 million transactions a day, which I think the main blockchains will be collapsed. And FunctionX, like I mentioned before, so it's a specific derivative app chain. Then they provide all this so-called multi-chain structure, so that allow us to have a dedicated chain for every single trading pairs on it. So that's the reason why we decided for technical structure wise, we select FunctionX as our main blockchain structure to be deployed.
Beautiful. It's great to see builders in Cosmos, both from the get-go building on Cosmos Tech, but also, of course, chains migrating to, or dApps migrating to build their own app chain like DYDX. It's just great to see perpetuals in general is lacking in the Cosmos DeFi ecosystem. So let's make sure to make up for that. So talk to us a little bit about the roadmap. I mean, people have been listening for half an hour now, and it's always nice to have a little bit of a feature list, if you will, to look forward to. So what's on the roadmap for you guys?
Shin, go ahead.
Danny can elaborate on that, but I guess the general roadmap that we are looking at MargenX is that we're going to launch AL on the testnet, and then followed on a mainnet on the Cosmos ecosystem. I think our first objective would be to absorb as many LP tokens as we can from the Cosmos ecosystem through IBC. As Danny mentioned earlier, you know, one of the unique features of our Marginex is that we accept LP tokens to be deposited into our system to be used as collateral and start trading, right? But eventually, I think the second phase would be that we will also consider accepting liquidity from Ethereum and other EVM chains. But for the details of the roadmap, I think that's also available on our website with all the minute details. Danny might want to expand on this one.
Yeah. So I think one of the other features, other than ALO, which is automated limit order book, we also do want to sort of like revitalize those idle assets. So we are our first kind of assets is want to revitalize is LP token. So basically when users or market participants they provide liquidity on Osmosis, so in return they will get a LP token. So we want to revitalize it, and then so users can actually collateral their LP tokens and then use it to sort of like provide liquidity or even create perpetuals pairs for whatever perpetual pairs they want. So for example, you know, me myself, I provide Atom USDC and Osmosis. So in return, I will have a so-called LP tokens from Osmosis. So I can go cross chain to IDCs to Marginex, and then I collateral my so-called Atom USDC LP tokens, and then I will use that stablecoin which we collateral under from the LP token, and then use it to provide liquidity for Atom perpetual pair. So that is something we want to launch it, and then so the roadmap will be not only to you know to satisfy the V1 or V2 ALO on mainnet. So we also want to attract as many as LP tokens and other asset classes like NFTs in the future, you know, to go through and then try to enlarge our TVLs and revitalize those idle assets, because I think right now it's bear market though, so we want to do it. There's no fresh money from out there, so I think that's something we can do to sort of like to expand and then to create more utility on out the LP tokens.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, I just want to echo that. That is a very good point I forgot to mention, right? Like then we spoke about this, right? We call it about supercharging our idle assets. So all of these assets is sitting there idle. And we actually provide an avenue for you to supercharge it by leveraging it and using it for something else that could be more interesting, even more profitable. Just want to say that I agree with you. Thanks for pointing that out, because I forgot about that.
There's a lot also, so don't sweat it. It's a lot of things to look forward to, and a lot of things getting filled out. And I think that's a good segue into some of the questions from the community. There's a lot of interest from the community. That's always a great sign. And I think a good one to fit into the conversation at this point is from Crypto Isaac, who is a asking about the challenges that you guys have faced in translating the AMM principles into the limit order book LOB exchange model that you sort of morphed together with the with ALO. So how did you overcome that? How did you overcome the, I guess, translating in terms of the technicalities of it, but also in communicating this? Because it's a tough concept to wrap your head around. There's a lot of benefits to it, as you explained on the space already. But yeah, how did you overcome this translating the ALO model?
I can think this question. I was involved in a lot of a lot of the development of this ALO algorithm. But in actual fact, there was a lot of discussion and research that has gone through between me and Danny, as well as the wider team. I have actually written a Medium article. You can see that on our on our blog, Marginex blog, which tries to explain all the challenges. Actually, not all of the challenges, because there's just too many challenges. The key challenges that we face when translating the AMM principles into limit order book. So for those who really want to know more, you can refer to that article or reach out to me. But what I would do here is I will mention one of the challenges which I myself find most interesting, right? And that is the temporal challenge. What I mean by the temporal challenge is you imagine that in limit order book exchange, the ask and bid price needs to be constantly refreshed to reflect the current prices, right? So for those of you who have traded on limit order books such as Binance before, you look at the order book, you can see that it keeps on flickering, and it keeps on change to center itself across the mark price or the Oracle price. So these are the things that you see on limit order book, but you don't see this on AMM, right? So AMM is static, right? It's at any point of time anyone wants to trade, it just takes the equation XY equals DK, and then it works out how much you should be getting for this amount of Bitcoin that you want to trade, how much you're getting for it. It's at any point of time, right? Because in AMM, you cannot trade a future value, right? So let's say if the current Bitcoin value is 27,000, on AMM, you can't say that, yeah, I want to trade AMM when it reaches 29,000 and what would the spread be? It just doesn't work that way. So for me, the biggest challenge is the temporal issue of how do you address this situation where AMM is kind of static when it comes to price, static is a bit negative. I guess it's instantaneous when it comes to determination of the price and determination of what the spread should be when you're trying to buy or sell a pair of token. But that will be, as I mentioned, the advantage of limit order book is its precision, right? Its ability to reflect also instantaneously, but not so much on the price, but actually on the demand and supply, right? Whether there's someone willing to buy your Bitcoin at $28,000 when the current price is really at $27,000, right? That's what LOB can do. And how do we reflect this disparity between AMMs and LOB on it, right? How do we reflect that? So for me, that was the biggest challenge. And we work out a lot of models. To be fair, there are a lot of ways you can try to interpolate this problem or try to extend this problem, but you have to find a way which you think it's the most, it's the fairest to everyone. And the other problem that we face in translating, which I also find it interesting, is I think Danny mentioned it earlier, that for perpetual contracts, we have, and again, you realize that a lot of people out there, they say they have done this, right? What we have done, they haven't, because we are doing this for perpetuals. And the difficulty for perpetuals is that, as Danny mentioned, whenever you start a trade, whenever you open a position, you only realize profit when you close that position, right? So if you think about this in terms of AMM, X, Y equals K, X and Y refers to the reserves of token A and token B. But then the problem is you have opened a position, you haven't closed it. So does that mean your X reserve has reduced already or not? Or do you wait for it to be closed before you take away the reserves? And if you wait for the position to be closed before you modify the value of X, which reflects reserves, then you have the problem which Danny mentioned, that your funds are literally stuck in this exchange until someone's willing to take up your position, right? So we felt that was unfair. And that's why in MarginX, you can trade it as though it's limit order book, right? We have a way where we can circumvent this problem, where you can open position and close position just like any other perpetuals limit order book exchange out there that you can find. But yet it is a price and a spread that is determined by the AMM principles. You guys could go through the article or reach out to me separately. It's, to be honest, it's a very interesting issue that both Danny and I find it very intriguing.
Beautiful, Shin. Well done.
Yeah.
And it's a tough challenge to explain, but I think you guys are doing a wonderful job at it. Sorry, Danny, you're pitching in here.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry to interrupt. So I think Shin is because Shin wrote the articles, and then she also like I said, he did the heavy lifting on develop the algorithm. So I mean, from a layman perspective, so it just like okay, if when we trade on spots, right? So it's just, you know, I buy my tokens, so I use my stables to buy tokens. Then, you know, after I got my tokens, right, the transaction is done. But perpetual is just different, or rather the futures is just different. So when you want to buy something, you first need to open a positions. So when you open a positions, you need to find a time or find an opportunity to close it. Then after that, you need to close positions to realize the profit or loss. So I think the best part, or rather the most challenging part, is how would you handle the positions. So that's the main or rather the key questions, why there's none of the other DeFi or the other developers or other protocols didn't, you know, have the chance to develop all this MM, or rather the automated limit order book for perpetuals. I think this is one of them. And then the second challenge from my perspective is the Oracle price. So remember just now we mentioned we want to take in idle assets such as LP tokens. So one thing why the other exchange, or rather central exchange, couldn't just list whatever perpetual tokens they have won. I think one of the main issue, or the key issue, is they couldn't get the so-called price oracle. So in Margex, we use because like I said, like we keep mentioning, Margex is a permissionless perpetual market, so you can list whatever we want. And in order to do that, we need to find a reliable price oracle to handle that issue. So, and in our cases, we will use LP tokens. So we will have an algorithm, we know, and then we will calculate or rather the LP token portions, and read the liquidity pool of that particular LP to read the price. So I think these two are the main challenges, how we handle the positions when the order filled. And then the second thing is how we handle the price oracle. So these two, I think, are the main challenges. Of course, there are a lot. Then you know, please read Shin's Medium article if you have time. Thank you.
And I think that is a great segue into another community question revolving around security and scalability. We talk a lot about price discovery. You mentioned price oracles, for example, price efficiency, which is obviously a key problem to solve when it comes to being a DEX, an exchange in general. But talk to us about the scalability. You mentioned that a little bit also with Function X, but in particular security, because obviously people are getting more and more scared of all these different hacks happening all over crypto, really. So how can the people feel safe about using Margin X?
I can start, Tris, and and see if Danny wants to expand on it. My take, so I had a few Twitter space myself, you know, within Margin X that talks about security on blockchain technologies. My views are always that most of the hacks on blockchains, they are not inherent or not intrinsic to the technology itself. It's human error, right? It's about people misplacing their seed trays, people leaving their passwords in, you know, in open air, in public spaces, or having some error in your codes. Majority of the hacks occurs due to, but I'm not giving excuses, right? Like the technology should do better to where even such exploits are difficult or at least rare. But I think this kind of hacks will dramatically reduce over the coming years as the technology starts to mature, and possibly with zero knowledge coming in, that would further improve the situation. So in terms of hacks, I think we need to be clear that most of it it's due to human error. But again, like I said, there's no excuse. We as a technologist, as a developers, we should still develop fail-safe protocols to even minimize the possibility of human making mistakes, right? Such as the conundrum that a developer face. But the remainder 5 or 10% of hacks, but if you think about it, the entire reason why blockchain exists is exactly to eliminate, right, this kind of hacks where a single bad actor can wreak havoc onto a financial systems. And that's no different from what's on Margin X. And because we are built on a blockchain technology, so we have all that security in place, to prevent these kind of hacks. Now, to break this down further, a lot of the hacks occur because a lot of DEXs out there claim to be DEX decentralized. But when you scrutinize them, they're not fully decentralized because an exchange has a lot of different components, right? You can say I have a non-custodial wallet, therefore I'm a DEX. But that's not entirely true, right? Because if your order book is not on-chain, your order book can be hacked. And then even if your order book is on-chain, then the next question is your settlement engine might not be on-chain, and that can be hacked. So at Margin X, we try to make everything as decentralized as possible. Danny mentioned this at the very beginning of our conversation, that whether is it the settlement engine, whether it comes to the non-custodial wallet, whether it comes to the order book, everything's on chain. We try to do everything on chain. It's a remarkable feat that our developer is able to develop this, and yet it remains as efficient as any other DEX out there. So to answer your question in short is that putting everything on chain, I think certainly makes Margin X much more secure. As for the scalability, again, the fact that we are built on the Cosmos platform, it makes it the fact that we are using a multi-chain architecture, which means that we can use one chain for one pair of tokens. That makes us, in theory at least, that our scalability to be infinite, because we can just add on more and more chain as we go along. But having said all that, the caveat is there must be some point of weakness in any system. And as I mentioned, the weakness is the point where blockchain connects to a system that's outside its blockchain. And I guess for me, like Margin X, the biggest vulnerability would be its Oracle price, because if you will, that is the window from Margin X peering to the outside world. We have enormous amount of experience, and so we hope that with all the protocols and the securities that we put in place, we hope that that would not be manipulated. But we learn as we go along, and we will continue to improve on it. But yeah, nothing is foolproof in this world, not even in a trade fight. So yeah, that's my 2 cents on this.
This is the way of building. You iterate, you build on top, absolutely, you improve, and repeat.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
And speaking of continuous integrations and iterations, building a better version each day, how does Margin X look like long-term? We tend to think very short-term, when we are in crypto in particular. You know, what are we going to ship the next month, the next quarter, the next half year? We never ask ourselves, what are we going to look like, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now even? So if you are to answer this question, and I know it's a next to impossible question to answer, really, because who knows how crypto as an industry looks like 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But if you were still to answer your sort of dream of Margin X, how it looks like long term, how would Margin X then look like?
Yeah, I think I would
let me go first. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I go first?
Go ahead.
I think I'll leave the a bulk of this vision thing to Danny because he's quite visionary, at least in my short time working with him. That's what I feel. But in my opinion, I just want to point out one thing, right? When we launched Margin X, a lot of people ask us, why did we not launch a token, right? And it's not an oversight on our part, on our behalf. It's actually intentional, right? We believe that, you know, a lot of the exchanges out there, they launch something, then they issue a token. And then, you know, the whole idea is that if the exchange do well in the short term, the tokens inflate in price, they sell the token, they made a profit. And then the founder, who knows what happens after that, they don't quite care about it. If they do care, it's a plus. If they don't, they just run away with your money, right? Which is to your point, that is the short term. A lot of the blockchain players are aiming for the short term gain. The fact that we don't even think about this, right? It was by intention that we did not launch any token. I think shows our commitment that we are here for the long term, right? We are not here to build something and run away. We want to keep on, as you mentioned earlier, we want to keep on develop, iterate, build throughout the whole period and grow together with the blockchain sphere in the next couple of years. We don't believe in having a token because that will divert our attention towards finding ways to inflate the token or whatsoever, right? Or we'll be too worried if the tokens are too low or whatsoever, right? So we don't have that distraction. We are very focused on building a product that's better, iterating a product that is getting better and better over time. So I think I just want to point it out that shows our commitment to a long-term value.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah, so so if you want to, I mean, like you said, no one knows what's really, you know, happening on the blockchain industry in the next 5 to 10 years. So I guess from my point of view, I guess if I may, let's say in 3 years time. So I think if everything is going smoothly, and then like what we intended, Margin X will become a Uniswap, order book Uniswap, but for perpetual market. So everyone can, you know, lease the tokens, or rather the perpetuals and derivative markets, day one, like any perpetuals, just like Uniswap. So we really want to implement this decentralizations to Margin X. And in, let's say in 5 years time, probably will be a compliant Uniswap, I guess. So everyone, like I said, we can reduce the hacking issues, and then probably some custody, try to get the funds, and try to get the recognitions and acknowledgement from the regulators, but while maintain the so-called the censorship resistance. So I think that's Margin X, that's how we envision what Margin X will be look like in 3 to 5 years time. Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful. And having a long-term view is paramount to succeed, obviously, in this space, but also to build up a community. And I know you guys have some interesting things that you're doing, building up a community with a referral program. So what can you talk to us about that, both the referral program, but also the community building that you guys are doing?
Yeah, so I think I can take this. If you look at our websites, we have some referral programs. So users, I mean, if you are like a marketing affiliate, so if you invite users, then you can have the commission kickback. So for whoever you invited, then you can have it. Then we even have a so-called NFT, Margin X Alliance NFT. So that would be your memberships. So these are the things, if you are the marketing affiliates or traders, then that would be something that might benefit you if you can trade on Margin X and even invite your friends or your members, team members or group members to come over to trade on Margin X. So for the community building wise, I think we are trying to expand our so-called influence outside our own community. So I mean, I think one of the things we're doing is we want to penetrate that to the Cosmos, and so we have a Twitter space with Cosmos Clubs, and then we'll be attending the Cosmoverse next month in Istanbul as well. Other than that, we're also doing some collaborations like the LP token staking. We are right now in talk with some other projects such as Atom, such as Kava, such as Kronos, and some other so-called Cosmos family as well. Providing them another exit or revitalizing their idle assets from the other community, from the other Cosmos-based community, we'll help them benefit and stay together more from. That's my thought. Yeah.
Amen to that. And this was a question, by the way, from Titanic, who I can see also is participating in this space. And the reason why we blended in all these community questions already is because of the giveaway that you guys have. You mentioned Cosmoverse also, so perhaps you guys can spill the beans here on the giveaway that you guys are doing with this space also. We should have probably said that in the beginning, but for those patient souls, I think they deserve to know by now.
Right.
So do you want to talk about the giveaway on the Cosmoverse entry passes that you guys were mentioning prior to this space, or how do you want to announce it?
I think we will announce it later. Yeah. We'll announce it later. Later.
We have the information on our Twitter, so you can check that on our Twitter. It's two free entry pass to Cosmoverse.
Yes. So great. I mean, now, yeah.
And I think that's a great segue to sort of throw the baton back to the community. So you talked about how you are building up a strong community around your perpetual exchange with MarginX. So that begs the question, what can we do as a community to make sure that you guys succeed? You guys are doing giveaways, you guys are participating in the community with Cosmoverse, for example. So what can we do? We need to follow you on Twitter, of course. You already mentioned that you had some announcement there on the giveaway. But yeah, what can we do as a community in Cosmos to help you guys?
I think the most important bit is to spread the word. Because Danny and I, we both believe what we have here, it's a really good product. It's quite innovative and revolutionary. But sometimes in the blockchain world, news doesn't get spread far enough. It gets drowned out by a lot of hype about altcoins maybe, and those who are really building good products that could potentially change the blockchain technology and the blockchain community in a whole sometimes gets drawn out. I think if there's one thing that I hope the community can help us do is really just to spread the word, right? Try to go to our website, understand what ELO is about, how we going to help you supercharge your idle asset. If you have any questions at all, just feel free to reach out to Daniel or I.
Yeah. The other thing is I think I don't like this, but apparently these days people are judging or evaluating DeFi projects by their TVL, right? So I mean, ELO, I like Shin said, is I mean from my point of view, it's a revolutionary tools. And then protocol. So we can really help to revitalize and reutilize your idle assets such as LP tokens, and then you can create a so-called a perpetual futures market for Cosmos based tokens. So like I said, I mean, if you guys notice, normally if the market is fluctuating, the trading volume of perpetual markets is normally few times and sometimes 10 times of spots. Then that will create a pretty liquid market for whatever the asset that is. So I think if you have so-called a LP tokens or idle assets, you know, feel free to try it. I mean, it's all on the Cosmos ecosystem, just a normal IBC cross-chain will do. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Beautiful, guys. Listen, this has been great. So glad we made this happen. It's really exciting to see perpetual exchanges coming to Cosmos, finally being built on, I would say, native, quote-unquote, app chains built on Cosmos. So well done, guys. Before we close this thing off, is there anything we left out? Is there anything that you want to leave the community with today before we close this thing off?
Yeah. So we will announce our testnet on tomorrow. So yeah, please take a look and tell us if you have any, you know, comments and questions, and then during our testnet period, and we will actually also recruiting so-called DeFi champion. So we would like to hear like your feedback after using our products, and please follow MarginX Twitter. Then we will have all this DeFi champion testnet and even the giveaway. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. I was just waiting if Danny was going to say something. But yeah, guys, we will definitely make sure to tweet it out also when you launch. And in general, just keep a close eye on what you guys are announcing, and share it, spread it far and wide to make sure you guys get the adoption that you deserve. So yeah, again, thank you so much, MarginX, Danny, Shin, for coming on tonight. This has been great, and I'm sure this is not the last time that we hear from you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
Thank
you guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Take care.
Ciao.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the code and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Spaces.